Blog Talk Radio.
Great English actor, beautiful,
Men, since the beginning of time, have sought peace. Various methods through the ages attempted to devise an international process to prevent or settle disputes between nations. From the very start, workable methods were found insofar as individual citizens were concerned. But the mechanics of an instrumentality of larger international scope have never been successful. Military alliances, balances of power, leagues of nations, all in turn failed, leaving the only path to be by way of the crucible of war. The utter destructiveness of war now blots out this alternative. We have had our last chance. If we will not devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at our door. The problem basically is theological and involves a spiritual recrudescence and improvement of human character that will synchronize with our almost matchless advances in science, art, literature, and all material and cultural developments of the past 2,000 years. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh. But once war is forced upon us, there is no other alternative than to apply every available means to bring it to a swift end. War's very object is victory, not prolonged indecision. In war, there is no substitute for victory. There are some who, for varying reasons, would appease Red China. They are blind to history's clear lesson. For history teaches with unmistakable emphasis that appeasement but begets new and bloodier war. It points to no single instance where this end has justified that means, where appeasement has led to more than a sham peace. Like blackmail, it lays the basis for new and successively greater demands until, as in blackmail, violence becomes the only other alternative. Why, my soldiers asked of me, surrender military advantages to an enemy in the field? I could not answer. Some may say, to avoid spread of the conflict into an all-out war with China. Others, to avoid Soviet intervention. Neither explanation seems valid. For China is already engaging with the maximum power it can commit, and the Soviets will not necessarily mesh its actions with our moves like a cobra. Any new enemy will more likely strike whenever it feels that the relativity in military or other potential is in its favor on a worldwide basis. The tragedy of Korea is further heightened by the fact that as military action is confined to its territorial limits, it condemns that nation, which it is our purpose to save, to suffer the devastating impact of full naval and air bombardment while the enemy's sanctuaries are fully protected from such attack and devastation. Of the nations of the world, Korea alone, up to now, is the sole one which has risked its all against communism. The magnificence of the courage and fortitude of the Korean people defies description. They have chosen to risk death rather than slavery. Their last words to me were, "Don't scuttle the Pacific." I have just left your fighting sons in Korea. They have met all tests there. And I can report to you without reservation, they are splendid in every way. It was my constant effort to preserve them and end this savage conflict honorably and with the least loss of time and a minimum sacrifice of life. Its growing bloodshed has caused me the deepest anguish and anxiety. Those gallant men will remain often in my thoughts and in my prayers always. I am closing my 52 years of military service. When I joined the Army, even before the turn of the century, it was the fulfillment of all my boyish hopes and dreams. The world has turned over many times since I took the oath on the plane at West Point, and the hopes and dreams have long since vanished. But I still remember the refrain of one of the most popular barrack ballads of that day, which proclaimed most proudly that old soldiers never die. They just fade away. And like the old soldier of that battle, I now close my military career and just fade away. An old soldier who tried to do his duty as God gave him the light to see that duty. Goodbye.
And that was General MacArthur. I thought it was appropriate today because there's still a lot of problems with our military and how they're treated with disrespect by these, I'll call them subversives of American society. How they disrespect the soldiers' right to privacy, trying to impose social agendas on the military. The U.S. Supreme Court has continually ruled that the military is a separate and distinct society. We see one of the worst violations in the Stephen Aaron case. 16 years it's been going on. And we are debuting this month two things. Our sister broadcasting, which will be on alternative days, probably Monday, Tuesdays and Thursdays, possibly Saturdays. I haven't quite decided yet, and also a video e-magazine, longer stories with a lot of pictures and audio from our historical archives,
and we have a lot of clips from films that we put together. We're at KLW and Western Public Radio. So these are some of the things that are coming, and of course, what we're going to be focusing on. Well, people are concerned about U.S. mail, where it's going. As I said back when they introduced the, there were never going to be postage stamp increases, and of course, those of us political conies sent you said that BS. You know, I remember when stamps were 5 cents. And of course, when I worked in the federal building many years ago, a lot of things that went on. One of the jobs that I had to do was in communications, intercepting contraband coming in the United States. And other things as well, which I won't get into. But anyway, one of the things was, in those days, we had, in the business districts, there were 2 to 3 deliveries a day. In the residential areas, there were 2 deliveries, and even on Saturday. And, of course, on Christmas period, and this is what every postman looked for, all of them do, sent out a Christmas card. You couldn't seal it. I think it was 2 cents postage. But anyway, one of the things that I had to deal with was the mail, and when I worked at the federal building, and learned that if you want mail to be delivered, when you expect it to be delivered, you've got to pay attention to the schedule. So when one of the bills, this is what I advise people, when that letter, payment package, you have to get there on time, when due. Thank you.
you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Mike, why?
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Venom.
Little phrase, good as gold.
It's good to go, but this is Peter Paul Brazella. We'll be back Friday, 4 o'clock, and this will be up on the web. And there'll be some interesting interviews that we've done. Good night.